Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara with which we are opening is actually a continuation of a general sugya concerning Bishulei Nochri. Bishulei Nochri, the issue or the prohibition concerning Jewish consumption of foods cooked up by Gentiles. The Gemara with which we'll be beginning at the top of Lamed Ches is accompanied by some geometric markings that are worth noting. We have a topic mivneh, a nosei mivneh, meaning a topic structural note. In the outside margin, you see a bow tie featured. These bow ties that appear in the Gemara represent shtei lishonos b'rav, two versions of what Rav has to say. Klolim mosai lo shayach bishul nochri. Conditions or rules describing situations where there will be no problem of Bishul Nochri. The Gemara will also feature with our markings a double underline where we highlight Rav's name. These are Meimros Shel Rav Binyan Bishulei Nochri, comments of Rav concerning Bishul Nochri. Let us begin the Gemara. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzhok Omar Rav Kol HaNechal Kemois Shehu Chai Ein Boi Mishum Bishulei Ovdei Kochovim. A food item that can be eaten raw. Chai means raw. A food item that could be eaten raw and that happened to be cooked up by a Gentile is not bound by the prohibition of Bishulei Nochri. In other words, if the Gentile cooked up such a food item, you would be allowed to eat it. Besura Masnu Hochi. Sura is the name of a famous Babylonian Torah community, yeshiva community. And in Surah, that was the version that they presented in the name of Rav. The Popadisa Masnu Hochi. In Popadisa, Rav's teaching is presented differently. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzhok, Omar Rav. Notice we have this as Loshen number 2. This is the Popadisa version. Kol She'eno Nechal Al Shulchan Malachim Lelafes Boi Esapas Ein Bo Mishum Bishulei Ovdei Kochovim. Any food item that would not be found on a table of royalty, on a king's table, that he would eat together with his bread. That's lelafes bozapas, to accompany his bread. So food items like that, that would not be found on a royal table, if a Gentile cooked that type of food up, so we say, ein bo mishum bishul evde kochavim, that one would be allowed to eat it. My binayu, what difference is there between these two versions? What kind of food item could be cited as a practical difference? So, Iko Binayu, there is the following difference. Dogim Ktanim V'ardi V'daisa. Dogim Ktanim is a reference to small fish. Ardi, Rashi provides a French word for that. And Daisa, often translated as porridge. These are food items that are not eaten raw. So from that standpoint, if you go with the first lashon, that would present a problem. However, they are not oila al shulchan malachim. These examples that the Gemara cites are something that you would not find on tables of royalty. So from that standpoint, if a Gentile cooked these items up, it would be okay. Omar Vasi, Omar Rav, Dogim Ktanim Meluchim, Ein Bohem Mishum Bishulei Ovdei Kochovim. The Tosfos comments on this food item. Tosfos below, he says, Dogim Ktanim Meluchim, Ein Bohem Mishum Bishulei Ovdei Kochovim. Pirush, im bishlon oved kochovim acharei shemolchon Yisrael shoro. If a Jew salted these fish, and after they were salted, a Gentile cooked them up, it would be mutter. The Tosfos continues, kevan shekoina bishulon hayu ne'acholim machmas milchom. Since before they would be cooked up, they were already edible because of their having been salted. So we continue in the Gemara. Omar of Yosef, im tzolon, if this food item, these dogim ktanim luchim, were roasted, somech yisrael alehem mishum eruve tavshilin. They could be used as part of the requirements for the Eruv Tavshilin. This is a, we'll call it a ritual or a ceremony, whereby food is set aside prior to a Yom Tov, which is followed by a Shabbos. In other words, if Yom Tov comes out on a Friday, and following that, of course, is Shabbos, and you want to be able to cook on Friday, which is a Yom Tov, for Shabbos, which ordinarily would be prohibited. If, however, you prepared an Eruv Tavshilin, this is a whereby one sets aside some cooked food item before the holiday. That setting aside, and there's a passage that's recited and a brocha that accompanies that. If that is done, so that enables one to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So these dogim ktanim meluchim, if they are tzolon, if they're roasted, that can serve as the required food item for the Erev Tavshilin. Vi avdinu ovikuchovim kosa daharsina osir. If these small fish were fried with a flour batter fish fats, so that the Rashi explains that the way these are prepared are, Rashi says on the first narrow line, tigein bemurias shuman dogim im kemach. So the small fish were fried in murias, which is fish fats and flour, then this dish would be forbidden. It would be a problem of bishul nochri, pshita. The Gemara says, well, that's pretty obvious. This is a type of food item that cannot be eaten before it's fried up. So Gemara answers why it's not pshita, why it has to be taught. Mahu detema harsana ikar. One might have thought that the harsana ingredient of this fried fish is the main ingredient, and the harsana is the murias. And it's pointed out that the murias, which is the fish fats, that is eaten, that's edible, even without being fried up. Komashmalon kimcha ikar. We're taught by this particular teaching that the aspect of it is the main attraction in this particular dish. And as a result of the flour being the ikar, that is why it's usher as bishulei nochri. And as we cited just a moment ago, that particular point was not so obvious, and that's why this had to be taught. Omar Rav Bruna, Omar Rav. Oyve kichovim shehitzis es ha'ur be'agam. A Gentile that lit a fire in a field. Kol hachagovim shebe'agam asurim. All of the locusts, and we're talking about, we're referring to kosher variety locusts that ordinarily, if a Jew prepared them in their normal method of preparation in his kosher home, there would be no problem. What happened here? A Gentile lit a field, and the Rav is telling us that all of the chagovim, all of the locusts, even though we're talking about kosher variety locusts, nevertheless, they are forbidden on the grounds of Bishul Nochri. Rashi says, Kol ha-chagovim shebe'agam shenechrichu v'nisbashlu machmasa'ur. All those that were, in effect, roasted because of this fire that the Gentile lit. Heichi domi, what are the circumstances behind this? Before we go on in the Gemara, let us take advantage of our topic heading and structural note that accompanies this sugya. So on the outside margin, you see the nosei. The topic is Goy Shehitzis Eish Ba'agam, a Gentile that lit a fire in a field. Kol HaChagovim Shenizbash L'Sham Asurim, all of the locusts that are there that got roasted or cooked up are forbidden. Then we have a Mivneh, a structural note, featuring the triangle. In our sugya itself, you can see a series of triangles. They are Shlosha Shlovim, three stages. Kidei Lahavin Heichi Domi Nosei Hana. What are the circumstances that led to the prohibition that was just discussed? So the Gemara goes on. E lema delo yoda he tohar vehe tome. If you're talking about a situation where one cannot identify which of the insects are of kosher, of a kosher variety, and which are of an unkosher variety, so my irya oivik techavim. Of what necessity was there for Rav to teach this halacha involving a Gentile lighting the field? Afilu Yisrael nami. Even if a Jew lit the field, all of the locusts would be usher because of the doubt that maybe that which I'm about to eat is of the unkosher variety. Ella, stage two, mishum bishule oivik techavim. The prohibition here is, as we explained originally, it's a bishul nochri problem. In other words, he can identify any particular locus there as being kosher, but nevertheless it will be prohibited because of bishul nochri. At this point the Gemara rejects this explanation, and you can see we have a long marking to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text. You see a dalet that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. The Dalet is an abbreviation of Dechia, a rejection. The Gemara asks on this last explanation, Ki Hai Gavno, in this fashion, Mi Osir, is it really prohibited? The Omar of Chonon Bar Ami, Omar of Pedas, Omar of Yochanan, Hai Ovid Kichovim, Dechorich Resha, a Gentile that singes the head of an animal. Imagine a slaughtered sheep, and you have the head of that sheep now, and the Gentile singes the head. Shori lemechal mine, afilu meresh une. It's permissible to eat from the meat, even from the tip of its ear. Now, why was the Gentile singeing the head? He was singeing it in order to remove the hair from the sheep's head. And we are saying that if the Gentile singed its head, it is mutter to eat from that meat. Alma lavure seo kermachavein. We see from here that his intention, the goy's intention, was for hair removal. His intention wasn't to cook up the head, to prepare the meat for eating. Rather, his intention was for hair removal. Hochanami, so too, in the case of the goy, the Gentile that lit the field, his intention was ligluye agmo kamachavin. He was trying to expose the ground from whatever growth was there. His intention was to burn away the growth. Not his intention wasn't to cook up the locusts in the field, and therefore the fact that the locusts happened to be cooked by the Gentiles lighting the field, that's not grounds for labeling it Bishul Nochri, because as we just said, the Nochri, the Gentile, had no cooking intentions. The Gemara answers why did Rav teach that the locusts are forbidden? The Olam, the Lo Yoda Heitor Veheitome. The circumstances of Rav's case were, in fact, where he didn't know which was kosher and which was unkosher. And then we asked, why was it taught that specifically that a goy lit the field? The more answer is, you're right, it could have been taught with a Jew lighting the field. However, the incident that took place, there was an incident that Rav was describing, an actual incident, not just a theoretical halacha. And the actual incident that Rav was describing was a case where a Gentile happened to be the one that lit the field, but not to the exclusion of the same case where a Jew had lit the field. At this point, we have a slash in the Gemara indicating that that which follows is represents a new flow of thought. In truth, we will be citing that which was mentioned just above, but now investigating on its own terms. Gufo, Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, Hai, Oyved Kechavim. There's another girsa that we could read. It's found, as far as the names are concerned, where Omar Rav Honon Bar Ami, Omar Rabbi Kados, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Hai Oyvei Kechavim Dechorech Reisha, a Gentile that singed the head of an animal for the purpose of removing its hair. Shori Lamechal Mine, it's mutter to eat from it. Afilu Meresh Une, even from the tip of its ear. Omar Avina Hilkoch, we can derive from this. Hai Oyvei Kechavim Deshoda Sichso Latuna, a Gentile that threw a sichso is a peg or a spike made of wood, and he threw it into an oven for the purpose of drying it out. Atuna is an oven to dry it out. The kovar bo Yisrael kora meikora. Kora is a type of vegetable. A Jew had buried in this particular oven this ekora beforehand, before the Gentile threw in the spike and for the purpose of drying it out. Shapir domi, the kora will be mutter, and there's no problem of bishul nochri. And the reason for that is that the goy who fired up the oven, which had already had this kora in it, the Gentile who fired up the oven did it for the purpose of drying out his spike, his peg. He had no intention of cooking up he had no cooking intentions. So the Gemara has Ravina telling us this particular leniency or this allowance. The Gemara says, Pshita, I don't really need Ravina whatsoever. I could figure this out on my own. It's obvious. In other words, if I had Rabbi Yochanan's teaching concerning the Gentile singeing the head of the sheep and then being told that it's mutter to eat the meat from that head, it's obvious that this case of the peg drying and the resulting korah getting cooked would be mutter. So what do I need Ravina for? So mahu detemo, without Ravina's teaching, I might have thought livshule mono komachaving, the goy's intention was in fact a cooking up intention, that he intended to cook up the peg. Komash malon lishrure mono komachaving. What Ravina is telling us is that the goy's intention was far removed from an intention of cooking the vessel, but rather his intention was to strengthen the vessel. Rashi says, Komash malon, the ain bishul bekelim, that we're informed by Ravina's example that the concept of bishul is not applicable to vessels. And the Rashi goes on, Elo l'shurei mona komechavein, v'hakshus es ha-yosei, to strengthen or toughen the peg, v'ein daito l'bishul, and the intention of the Gentile was a non-cooking intention. It was an instrument improving intention, but not a cooking intention. And as a result of that, the korah would be mutter. Once again, we have a slash indicating that which follows is a new thought. Before we go further, let us take advantage of our topic heading and the subsequent structural note. To know, say, Yisrael hiniach maichol al ha'esh, a Jew placed a food item on the fire, uvo ha'goy v'hipe choso, and a Gentile came along and flipped it over. Example, a Jew put a steak on a fire, on a grill, and a goy came along and flipped over the steak. We have in the sugya some geometric forms. We have a house form, and the mivne heading explains havlota l'tzorach hagamor b'midbeis. This is a certain attempt to accentuate something that we'll find additional benefit from when we get to the omidbeis of the Gemara. There are two points that are accentuated by the geometric form. Number one, hiniach Yisrael agabi gecholim v'hofach akum. The case that we just featured where a Jew placed it on the fire and the goy came along and flipped it over, and an opposite case where hiniach akum, where a Gentile placed the food item on the fire, v'hofach Yisrael, and the Jew came and flipped it over. Turning back to the Gemara, Omar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, hiniach Yisrael bosar agabi gecholim, a Jew placed meat on coals, and a Gentile came along and flipped over the meat, mutter. The meat is allowed to be consumed without encountering a problem of bishul nochri. Hechi domi, what are the circumstances? If you tell me that without the Gentiles' intervention it would have got cooked up anyway, then it's an obvious halacha. I don't need Shmuel to teach me that it's mutter. Elolav, a second stage of analysis. You can see we've indicated the stages with little lettering. We have the Elema was Aleph, and now Elolav is Beis, and the next line, Lo Tzricha, is Gimel, third stage. So the second stage of analysis is Elolav, the Elo Hafach, Lo Havibashil. Maybe if the Gentile had not involved, flipped it over, it would not have gotten cooked up. Well, if that were the case, Amai Mutter, why would there be a ruling that the meat is allowed to be eaten? Bishule Shel Ovde Kohoven Ninu. This would be a classic example of Bishul Nochri. Lo Tzricha, the teaching is necessary. Had the Gentile not gotten involved, then it would have taken 2 hours to get properly roasted. The Hashta Koboshil Bechada Shaitel. And now that the Gentile came along and flipped it over, it will take only 1 hour for it to be completed. So, Mahu de Tema, without the teaching of Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel that this is mutter, I would have thought, Kruve Bishule Milsohi, that hastening the cooking up is also significant, a significant element of Goy involvement, of Gentile involvement, significant enough to render it prohibited. Kamash Malon, and therefore I am taught that it is mutter. The Gemara asks, V'omer of Asiyam Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Shehu Kemaychol Ben Drusoi Ein Boi Mishum Bishule Ovde Kehovim. Any food item that has reached a stage of cooking called Maychol Ben Drusoi, let us say that is a third of its cooking. Let's just say, for example, it takes 1 hour to cook something up, and a Jew is put it on the fire and cooked it up for 20 minutes. That food item will say reached Maychol Ben Drusoi. If a Goy comes along, if a Gentile comes along and continues the cooking up of it, then there is no problem of Bishul Nochri. We can infer, though, Ha Eino K'Maychol Ben Drusoi. If, however, you have a food item that was started off, its cooking was started off by a Jew, but it hasn't reached Maychol Ben Drusoi yet. For example, a case where Jew placed meat on coals, Goy comes along and flips it over before it reaches Maychol Ben Drusoi. We will then say Yesh Bo Mishum Bishule Ovde Kohavim, that there is a problem. So how can we rule that the meat is permissible? The Gemara answers, Hossam, the case that we just said was forbidden, and the case in which we cited the issue of Maychol Ben Drusoi, Kegoin de Oisvei Besilta, the example would be of some food item that was cooked up to less than Maychol Ben Drusoi, that was sitting in a basket. A silta is a sal, a basket. And Vishakle Ovikuchavim, the Goy took it out of the basket, the Oisvei Betanura, and he placed it in the oven. That would be a problem. However, in the case of the meat, it's true the Goy may have come along before it reached Maychol Ben Drusoi, but had he not come along, it would have got cooked up anyway. So, as a result of that factor, even though the Goy intervened before Maychol Ben Drusoi, we still will allow it. And that's contrasted with the case that Rabbi Yochanan was talking about, where a food item wasn't going to get cooked up anyway. It was in a basket. It happened to be partially cooked to a point under a third cooking. In such a case, if a Goy came along and took that which was only a quarter cooked up and put it on the fire, that would be a problem. Tanya Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source supporting this. Miniach Yisrael Bosar Agabi Gecholem Ubo Oivei Kechovim Umahapech Bo Ad Shiyovo Yisrael Mibes HaKnesses O Mibes HaMedrash V'Eino Choshesh. A Jew would be allowed to place meat on coals. A Goy would be allowed to come and flip it over. And until the Jew were to come back from the shul or from his learning, it would then be ready, and there's nothing to worry about. Shofeses isha kedera agabi kira, a shofetzes is a verb for placing pots on fires. So a Jewish woman placed a pot of food on the fire, on the kira, on the oven. Ubos oivedes kechavim umagisa, and a Gentile woman came along and stirred it. Ashtavo mibeis hamerchas o mibeis hakneses, until the Jewish woman came back from either the bathhouse or a shul, the eino chosheshes, and there is no problem. And what is this illustrating? This is illustrating the example we spoke about before, that if the goy's intervention took place at a point that the food item was on the fire anyway, since the Jew started off the cooking process, the fact that the Gentile intervenes early on in its cooking, that does not prohibit the food. Notice, with the markings, this helps to tie into the Gemara Nomad Aleph. We are presented here with an opposite case. This is a case where the goy placed it on the fire, and the Jew came along and flipped it over. Does the fact that the Jew flips it over make this permissible? Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Kal v'chomer. Rav Nachman wants to use Kal v'chomer logic. Gomro biyad ovei kechavim muter. If in a case where the finishing of it, the final stages, were whereas the end of the food, the bringing the food to its level of readiness, and that bringing it to level of readiness is done by a Gentile, and still we say it's muter. Gomro biyad yisrael lo kol shekein. If a Jew brings it to its level of readiness, then all the more so we can be lenient. Itmar Nami, Omar Rabo, Bar Chanom Rav Yochanan. The Amri Law, another version is Omar Rav Acho, Bar Chana Om Rav Yochanan. You'll notice we've underlined some aspect of the names. That's to help bring out the difference between the two Lashonas. In the first Lashon it was Rabo, and the second Lashon is Rav Acho, but both of them are called Bar Chana. What are they saying? Whether it be Bein Shehimiach Uvik Lechavim Vavach Yisrael, whether it be the case of the Gentile placing it on a fire and the Jew coming and flipping over the meat, or the other way around, the Jew placed it on the fire and the goy flipped it over, muter the eino muter, the meat is allowed, the eino aser ad shetehe tchiloso vigomro biad ovid kochavim. The only time there would be prohibition is if the beginning and end is performed or carried out by the Gentile. Omar Avina, Hilchasa, Ha Rifta, the halacha governing the Rifta, bread. Several examples here. Number one, the Shogar Ovei Kuchavim, the Ofel Yisrael, where a Gentile fired up the oven and the Jew placed the bread in the oven. Inami Shogar Yisrael, where the Jew fired up the oven, the Ofel Ovei Kuchavim, and the goy placed the bread in the oven. Inami, another case, shogar ovei kuchavim, the ofa ovei kuchavim, where the oven was fired up by the Gentile and the bread was placed in the oven by the Gentile. The osa yisrael v'chota bo chetuye, and a Jew came along and stoked the coals. Shapir domi, even if the Jew is involved with some aspect of the baking, in this case he comes and he stokes the coals. That creates permissibility, the allowance of the food item, and therefore not to be considered bishul nochri. Once again, we see a slash indicating that the following piece of Gemara is a new idea. Before we go on into Gemara, let's take advantage of our heading on the side, nosei mivne. Nosei is the topic, mivne the structural note. Shtei lishonos beinyan goi, one hamoleach dogim, and number two hatsola beitzim beklipasam. Two lishonos concerning the issue of a goi, of a Gentile salting fish, and a case of him roasting an egg in its shell. The Gemara, dag maliach. That means that the goy salted some fish, and through its salting, it became edible without any further cooking. The salting was its cooking, if you will. If a goy did that, Chizkiyah Shari, Chizkiyah says, it's okay, it's mutter. Rabbi Yochanan Osar. Rabbi Yochanan says no, because he views the salting as its cooking, and therefore it would fall under the category of Bishol Nochri. Beitzot Sluya, a roasted egg, Bar Kapora Shari, Rabbi Yochanan Osar. The Rashi explains on the first narrow line, Bar Kapor Shari, Huyel Ubalia Oichel Didei, since the edible part when dealing with an egg is absorbed within the shell, in other words, it's contained within, you don't see it, it's inside the shell. Oichel, once again, Huyel Ubalia Oichel Didei, V'lo Noga Oivik Kichovim Beuchla, and the goy has no actual direct contact with the food item, with the edible part. That's the reason that Bar Kapora feels that even though the goy roasted the egg, but he roasted it in its shell. And since the goy has no contact with the egg itself, he just is touching the shell, therefore it's mutter. Rabbi Yochanan, osar. Rabbi Yochanan no rules stringently. Ki osar Ravdimi Omar. You'll notice that this version is different than the first version. Ravdimi's version is Echad Dog Maliach Ve'echad Beitzot Sluya. Chizkiya Ubar Kapora Sharu, the Rebbe Yochanan Osar. Rebbe Chia Parvo Iklo Lebei Reish Galusa. Omru Lei Beitzot Sluya Mai. So Rebbe Chia Parvo is visiting. He went to visit the Reish Galusa, and the members of the house of the Reish Galusa asked him, "What is the din with regard to a roasted egg?" We're talking, of course, about a goy that roasted the egg. Omar Luhu, so Rabbi Chia Parvo answered, Chizkiyo Bar Kapora Sharu, Rabbi Yochanan Osar. This we saw just a few lines up. You can see where the arrow is positioned, and you find the arrow just above, and you'll see that was the line that these names and sheepas were presented. So Rabbi Chia cites those authorities and says, V'ein Dvorav Shel Echad B'mokim Shnayim. The words of the singular opinion, namely Rabbi Yochanan, who was stringent, don't hold weight against the two others that were lenient. So, in effect, you have Rabbi Chia Parvo giving a lenient ruling, which certainly found favor in the eyes of the members of the Bei Reish Galusa. Omar Lehu Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid turns to the people, namely to the Bei Reish Galusa, and says, Lo Tatsisu Lei, don't listen to the lenient ruling of Rabbi Chia. Hochi Omar Abaye. Thusly says Abaye, Hilchos HaKavasi to Rabbi Yochanan. The way to go is with stringency, with chumrah, like Rabbi Yochanan said, even though he was a lone opinion. So the Rav Zvid is basically throwing cold water on this ruling that they received. In other words, they thought that they could rely on Rabbi Chia's ruling. Rav Zvid came along and upset them. Ashkiyuhu neguta dechola, the Bei Reish Galusa, some servants in that household came and gave Rav Zvid some this certain type of vinegar. The commentaries say that neguta is a cup of vinegar, and v'noch nafshei, and it killed him. They were obviously upset, to say the least, with the strict ruling that Rav Zvid had given them. We see a slash again, so we encounter now a new idea. Tana Rabbanan. We have a list of different food items. HaKafrisin. Rashi explains that kafrisin are the shomer lepri, like the shells or the that which protects the food item, and it's talking about the shomer lepri of the fruit of the tzlaf tree. What's important to note is that these peels or shells were something that could be eaten raw. Some people have the practice of cooking them up. And we'll be saying in this source that if a Gentile cooked up the kafrisin, the shells of the tzlaf fruit, then it would be okay to eat. That's Hakafrisin Vakaflotos. Rashi calls that Karsi. That's also something eaten raw. The Hamtalya. Hamtalya will be discussed later in the Gemara. The Hachamin. Chamin is boiled water. Vakloyos, roasted grains. Shelahin, that were prepared by Gentiles. Mutorin, they are allowed. Rashi adds to this that that when it comes to the boiled water, the fact that it's boiled up doesn't change it from its original state. That's called, it's not mishtana mibriyosoi al yadei ha'ur. Beitzot sluyo asura, a roasted egg, that a Gentile roasted, is also for a Jew, is forbidden for a Jew to eat. Shemen, we're talking about the oil prepared by the Goyim. Rabbi Yehuda Hanosi Ubeis Dino, Nimnu Alav Vehitiru. Rabbi Yehuda and his court voted on the issue of the oil, and they ruled that it's permitted. This, of course, was a long sugya before. Tanya, at this point, the Gemara focuses on the Hamtalya food item. He Hamtalya, he Pashlaya, he Shiata. All of these different words describe the same thing. So far, it's hard to say that we have made any progress in understanding it. Therefore, the Gemara asks, "My Shiata, what is this?" At this point in the Gemara, we encounter a bracketed section. And you can see by viewing the length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara how many lines are contained within the brackets. In the outside margin, we have a note indicating the role of these brackets. Hatshuva l'she'elas mai shiata, the answer to the question the Gemara just raised before the brackets of what is the Shiata, Maschil Acharei Hasagraim. The answer begins after the brackets. B'toch Hasagraim, a Gemara Mevi'o Shtei Lushanos, Shelo Cholkim, Milifnei Kamo Zman Hoyo Hamikre. Within the brackets, there will be two versions as to how much time earlier did the incident that the Gemara will report after the brackets. So when did it take place? How many years before did it take place? So with that introduction in mind, we can read the Gemara straight, but realizing that the answer to the question of Mai Shiata, that appears only after the brackets. The Gemara says, Omar Rabba Bar Chana, of course we have an aleph here indicating the first lashon. Underneath you'll have Rabba Bar Chana, the base giving a second lashon. The first lashon has Rabbi Bar Chana quoting Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Bar Chana Omer Rabbi Yochanan Ha Arboim Shonin. It's been 40 years. The Nafik Hai Uvdo Mimitzrayim. Since the case or the incident took place or became known, that was Nafik means it came out of Mitzrayim. The Rabbi Bar Chana Didei Omar. He says on his own, not quoting Rabbi Yochanan. He says, "Ha shisin shonin dinafik hai uvda mimitzrayim." It's been 60 years since this event took place. Below pligi, there is no argument between these two lashonos. Mar b'shane, umar b'shane. Each one was referring to his own time frame. In other words, when Rabbi Yochanan told us about it, it was 40 years since Rabbi Yochanan had been exposed to it or had heard about it, and when Rabbi Bar Chana, as far as himself was concerned, it was 60 years before that he had heard about it. Hechi Avdu, how is it prepared? This Shiata, Maisi Bizro de Karpasa, Bizro of seeds, Karpa seeds, and Bizro de Kisna, flax seeds. Ubizra de Shavlilta, and Shavlilta is a vegetation called Tilson seeds. Vitaru Luhu Bahadi Hadadi, these three different types of seeds are soaked together in water, Bipshuri, in lukewarm water. Vishavkule ad de Mikabel, and they're left till they start to sprout. Umaisi chatzvi chadati, and then new jugs are brought. Umalu luhu maya, and they're filled with water. Vitoru bahu gargishta, and gargishta, clumps of dirt, are soaked in this. U midabkin bay, and the seeds that were described before are then stuck onto these clods of earth. V'aylin lebay boni, then the person goes into a bathhouse. Adenafku melavlevi. By the time he comes out, in that very short amount of time, between the time he put the seeds on the clods of earth and came out of the bathhouse, in that interim, they sprouted forth. In other words, they started to grow. We saw the idea of sprouting just before. So melavlevi is additional growth. The achli minayu, and then one would eat from it. The kairi, and he would be cooled off. Remember, we're talking about someone that went into a hot bathhouse, and as a result of eating this, these newly sprouted plants, he would be cooled off. Mi binsa de reshayu, from the hair on his head ad tufra de karayu, until the toenails on his feet. Rashi adds something that's very important for this whole sugya, and that is that the brisa above that mentioned the hamtalia on the last narrow line of Gemara, where hamtalia was featured, and there was a ruling in there that they're mutter. So the brisa tells us that if a Gentile soaked the seeds in hot water, it still would be allowed. In other words, regarding Hamtalya, there's no problem of Bishul Nohri. Omar Rav Ashi. Omar Li Rabbi Hanina. Rav Ashi says that Rabbi Hanina told me concerning the quick sprouting of these seeds. We meant, referring to the expression we dashed underlined, just the line above, where it said, Adinafku Milavavi. So regarding that, Rabbi Hanina told me, Milin, that it's a lie. That never happened. The Amri Law, Bimilin, another version of what Rabbi Hanina said, that the only way for something to sprout that quickly would be through black magic. Tonu Rabbanan, we have a source. On the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading. Shimush Basir, Yoreh. Yoreh is a word for a pot. Shel Goy, the use of a Gentile's pot, the chashash mitnei blias asuros, and we'll be concerning ourselves with the problem of the pot having previously absorbed forbidden foods. In other words, unkosher foods. If it's a Gentile's pot, we can assume he cooked up unkosher food in there. We will concern ourselves with the use of his pots. Tonu Rabbanan, Hakosvan shel Ovdei Kohavim Shehuchmu Chamin. Rashi on this says, Hakosvan is Pseilus shel Tomorim. This is a residue from dates, She'osu mehem Shechar V'choltenosan, the residue from dates that were used in making beer. So after the beer was made, there is some date residue, and now this date residue is cooked up. Biyore gedola, if it's cooked up in a large pot, in other words, we have to mention, of course, we're talking about a Gentile cooking it up. So he's cooking it up. If he cooks it up in a large pot, usur. The large pot is something that we suspect was used for cooking up unkosher food prior to this. Biyore ketana, if he cooks it up in a small vessel, then mutter, then the Kusvan, even though it's cooked up by the Gentile, it still would be mutter. In other words, there is no chashash of the of blios, of food items, food matter absorbed into the food taste that's absorbed into the walls of the pot as posing a problem if it's a Yorah Ketana. The Ezo Hi Yorah Ketana, what's the standard by which we can say this is a Yorah, this is a small pot? Omra Bianai, Kol she'ein sipor dror yochol likones besocha. A pot who was so small that a small bird, a tzipor dror, would not be able to fit in it. The Rashi explains in greater detail that when we talk about a small pot, we're referring primarily to the entrance of the pot, to the neck of the pot, the opening, where the opening is very small. So that if the opening is so small that a tzipor dror, a small bird, dror literally means a free bird, a wild bird, something that's as opposed to chickens and other domesticated birds, anything that a tzipor dror would not be able to fit into. So one can say with a certain degree of certainty that there was no cooking of unkosher food in such a pot. The Gemara asks, so what? The neck is so small that a complete bird would not fit in. V'dilma admuye admua v'ailua. Maybe he cut it up into small pieces and put it in the pot, so that you could have a situation where even though a complete bird wouldn't fit into the opening, maybe the goy took some unkosher food and cut it into small pieces and put it in this narrow opening. Ella, rather, the more accurate description of Yorik Tana is as follows. Kol she'ein roish tzipor dror yochol likones besocho. It's so small that the head of a tzipor dror would not fit in. That's called a Yorik Tana, and under such circumstances I wouldn't have to worry about the exusions from the walls of the pot of unkosher food taste. The Gemara asks, Vatanya achas yore gedolo, viachas yore ketana muter. Here we have an explicit comment that a yore gedola is permissible. So the Gemara answers, lo kashya. Ha kemad yomar noisin tam lefgam oser, ha kemad yomar noisin tam lefgam muter. The opinion that says a yore gedola is forbidden, that's according to the approach that said that negative tastes that are of an unkosher origin are prohibited. We are referring specifically to the taste that's absorbed in the walls of the pot. We feel that previously cooked dishes that are food items that were absorbed into the walls of the pot, when they're left over, whereas when you use the pot on a subsequent occasion and the food taste will come out of the walls, that food taste is it has a bad taste to it. In other words, it doesn't improve the currently cooked food item. So the exusion from the walls of pots is considered nosein tam lifgam, that which provides a negative taste. How do you classify that legally? Is it allowed? Is it permissible or prohibited? So there is an opinion that says that no sein tam lefgam, if it's even though it gives a negative taste, since its origin is from unkosher food, it is prohibited. So that corresponds to the source that indicated that yore gedola is osur. The most recent source that said that even a yore gedola is mutter, that's because the shita, this shita holds, this brisa holds that no sein tam lefgam is mutter. In other words, the taste that's exuded from the walls of the pot into the current food being cooked up does not pose any problem. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to notice the appearance of slash marks on a fairly regular basis, and that's because each section of Gemara represents a new thought. Amar Rav Sheshes. Before we go further, we can take advantage of our topic heading, the nosei, machloikis imuter shemen mevushol shel hagoyim. Is cooked oil of the goyim, a Gentile cooked oil, permitted? Amar of Sheshes, hai mishcha shlika darmoi. Mishcha is oil, shlika is boiled up. So you have boiled oil of the goyim. Rav Sheshes says, osir. Omar Rav Safra. Rav Safra disagrees, and he is lenient. He says, "Lamai nechush lo. What is there to worry about when you're dealing with the cooked oil belonging to goyim? I mishum, and we've used a double underline to indicate the different stages of analysis of this issue. So if you say I mishum I aruvi, if you're afraid of the of there being mixed into it some wine, he wouldn't do that. Misra, sorry, it would make the oil go bad. It would make it it would rot, make it masriach, disgusting. I mishum bishulei oivdei kochavim, if your concern is that it's a problem of bishul nachri, that's not a problem here. Nechal hu kemoshu chai, oil is consumed even before it's cooked up. It's edible. I mishum giulei oivdei kochavim, if one would worry about the release of the taste absorbed in the goy's pots of forbidden foods that were cooked up previously, and their taste had been absorbed and now is being released into the oil, I'm not worried about that. No Saint Tam Livgamhu, that released taste from the walls of the pots into the food item gives a negative taste and umuter, and therefore, since it doesn't improve the taste, it's no Saint Tam Livgam, it doesn't pose a threat to the kashrus of the item, to the acceptability of the item being cooked up, in this case oil. Bo mine me rabi asi, hani ahini shliki dar moi mai. Ahini are dates, shliki that are cooked up. So we're talking about cooked up dates that of a Gentile. What is the din? Chuli lo tibayaloch devarei shoru. If you're talking about a very sweet variety of date, so there is no problem of bishul nochri because they are eaten when raw as well. Meriri lo tibayaloch devarei asiri. The meriri variety is meriri has to do with bitter. These are, we'll say, bitter dates. They are not eaten raw. They need to be cooked up. So those things are, that's also lo tibayaloch. I don't have to ask about that. Devarei asiri, those are certainly prohibited if a Gentile cooked up these bitter dates, because that is what makes them edible. Ki tibayaloch mitzoi mai. My question concerns, this was the question asked of Ravasi, concerns a middle level date. Omar lahu, so Ravasi answered, mai tibayalohu. What are you asking this for? It's a machlokes, the Rebbe Osar, who, well, let us correct ourselves. He, Rebbe, Rav Asi answers, why are you asking, what need do you have to ask the question? The Rabbi Osar, the master, the teacher, forbids it. Umanu, and who is that? Levi. This is something, the middle ground dates cooked up by a Gentile are forbidden as according to Levi's ruling. Let us glance at the side of the Gemara for a topic heading here. We see Nose, Shte Lishonos Begemara, two versions in the Gemara, Be'ezo Shesisoa Cholkin Rav on the one hand, V'Avu Adishmua V'Levi on the other hand. So there's a food item called Shesisa. Rashi explains Shesisa Tavshil Ha'osui Mikemap Shokloyas Shiofshim B'Tanur. It's a dish that's made of flour from roasted grains that were roasted in an oven. V'yesh She'osin Oisoi Mikemach Adoshim. Some make it from Adoshim flour. Adoshim, a type of legume. Ulafi Shehein Mesukin Yoser Midai Nosin Sham Choymetz. Because it's extremely sweet, to offset the extreme sweetness, they add vinegar to it. As mentioned before, there will be two Lishonos in the Gemara, two versions, and those are that's indicated by the Roman numerals 1 and 2. Shesisa, Rav Shori. Rav, on the one hand of this, on the one side of this machlokas, he says it's allowed, and Avuah d'Shmuel v'Levi on the other side of this machlokes, they say it's forbidden. As you can see in the Gemara, as we go on, we see some lettering, Aleph, and on the same line, a Beis, and the next line, Gimel. These are different types of Shisisa. So, Bechiti Vesairi, Kule Alma Lo Pligi Deshori. If you have the Shisisa made from as its base, Chiti and Sarez, wheat or barley, it's not customary for vinegar to be added to it. And therefore, everyone will agree that there's no problem. It may be worth noting that vinegar in general, belonging to Gentiles, poses a problem because its origins are in wine. However, if the shisa is made from chiti usairi, they don't add vinegar, so there'd be no problem. B'talfachi d'chola, kule amo lo pligi d'osir. Talfachi are adoshim. So if it's made from adoshim, everyone agrees that it's prohibited because the custom was to add vinegar to the adoshim dish. Ki pligi betalfachi demaya. This is the machlokas concerns talfachi where water is used and not necessarily vinegar. Mor savar gazrinan ha atu ha. The opinion of Avud Shmuel and Levi that said that the shisisa is usher, they will prohibit this talfachi demaya in anticipation of someone then allowing the talfachi dechola, which we saw is usur according to everybody. Morsovar lo gazrinan, and the dea that holds its mutter, namely Rav, says that we don't have to worry about allowing talfachi demaya in anticipation of someone coming to eat talfachi dechola. The Ikal di Amri, a second version, but this will be more chomer, more stringent. B'talfachi demaya kule alma lo pligi de osir. That case, everyone will agree, is forbidden. Ki pligi b'chiti v'sairi. The machlokas between Rav and Avud Shmuel v'Levi concerns the chiti v'sairi. Notice in the first lashon, in the case of chiti v'sari, everyone allowed. In this version, chiti v'sari itself is the machlokes. Mar sovar gazrinan ha atu ha. The Avud Shmuel and Levi who restrict hold that we have to restrict the case of talfachi d'maya so that you don't come to the more serious violation. Umar sovar lo gazrinan. And the opinion of Rav holds that we don't have to ban the chiti v'sari as in fear of him coming to violate something more severe. Omar Rav, Trey Mini Shesisa Shodar Barzilai Agiloli L'David. Rav tells us the two types of Shesisa that Barzilai Hagilodi, he was a figure mentioned in the Tanakh, and he sent to David. Dichtiv Mishchav V'Sofois Ukli Yotzer Chitim Usorim V'Kemach V'Koli Upul V'Adoshim V'Koli. You notice how the word V'Koli appears twice. That's the reference to the two types of Shisisa that Barzilai Gilodi sent to David. The Hashda who the Komafki Tzoni Tzoni L'Shuki De Nahardo. And now you'll notice there are barrels and barrels full of Shisisa carried out to the markets of Nahardo, the less the Chayesh Lo Davua De Shmuel V'Levi, and no one concerns themselves with the restrictive opinion of Avuah d'Shmuel Levi. Rather, the entire community go with the approach of Rav that it's mutter. Ukvashim shedarkon loseis besochon yayin. On the outside margin, we have a topic heading, the nosei, Hevdelim bein kvoshim umurias shogoyim. Differences between these two items. Kvoshim are pickled things, and murias, we've seen before, are fish fats that that was discussed earlier. Both of which are belonging to Gentiles. Even though in both cases, in the kvoshim and in the murias, there is a practice of adding wine to them, we'll see though that one is asur and one is mutter. Omar Chizkio lo shonu ela shedarkon. That which we said that the kvoshim of the goyim are asur to eat but mutter bahano, that is referring to things that there is a custom of putting wine. It's normal that they put wine. Avol biyodua, if you knew that the Gentile put wine into the kvoshim, into these pickled items, then osir afilu bano. If you know there's wine that was put in it, then it becomes osir even to benefit from it. The Gemara asks, umay shno mimurias deshoru rabbanan bano. What's the difference between these kvoshim and the case of murias that it's very common Rove of the Oilam adds wine to it, and since the majority of the Oilam add wine to it, it's considered like a case of Yodua. It's as if it's known. So why is it that in the case of Murias do the Rabbanan allow one to benefit from it? So the Gemara answers, there's a distinction. Hasam, in the case of the Murias, the role of the wine is lavure zuamo. It's to serve as a to cancel the foulness. Hacha, in the case of the kvoshim, the role of the wine is limtuke taimo. It's to make it sweeter. In other words, it's the wine's role here is not a negation of the negative, but an addition of positive. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, afilu biodua nami mutter. In the case of the kvoshim, where I know wine was added, it will be mutter. Notice how extreme the machlokis is in these between Rabbi Yochanan and the version of Chizkia, where Chizkia said biodua, it's also even bahanoah. This version is saying in the case of yodua, it's mutter. Umay shno mimurius the Rabbi Meir de osir bahanoah. What is the difference between the kvoshim with the wine in it that you're saying is mutter, and the case of murias of the fee according to Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir's version of murias is that one cannot even benefit from it. The Gemara answers, Hasam, in the case of the murias that Rabbi Meir rules is forbidden even bano, is yediyah mamoshoi. The wine that's added is adds to the bulk, to the mamoshis of it, to the substance. Rashi explains at the top, Hosam yediyah mamoshis sharei matbilin bo. The murias was used for as a dip. The horoitev nechal, and liquid there that you're dipping into is something that you eat together with the bread that you dipped into it. The hayayin nechal imo, and the wine that you added to the murias is also part of that dip that you are actually eating. Hacha lo yediyah mamoshon. However, in the case of the of the kvoshim, where you know wine was added, the person isn't eating the brine in which the wine is located. He's eating the vegetable item that was pickled in it. And as a result of that distinction, we can say that even if you know that wine was added, it is mutter. As we said, because there the person isn't interested in the wine per se, he's not eating the wine per se, he's eating the vegetable that was pickled in it. Well, with that, we conclude our shiur for today.